Brits have never crossed the picket line, where workers' rights are enshrined and written. Never cross a picket line. You must never cross a picket line.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. That sentiment, never cross a picket line, ingrained in my mind from the time I was a young kid. I still, you know, remember my grandfather saying, you don't play with that kid across the street. Turns out his grandfather crossed a picket line like 50 years earlier. And as a society, back then, one of those things that almost unforgivable. Because, look, my grandfather and, you know, that generation that built the largest middle class, the most prosperous working class in the history of civilization, understood the concept of solidarity. And we're seeing that right now in action. And look, as I said in the last segment, this is one of those lessons that these professors and instructors on the picket lines at our 14 state-owned colleges and universities are showing their students by actions, by going out and saying, you know what, we're not going to allow working conditions to be destroyed. We're not going to allow the state system to be eventually broken up and sold off, and good on them. Today, I'm going to talk with one of the adjunct instructors at Millersville University. Beth Katz has been there 23 years as an adjunct instructor. Beth, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, glad to help.
So, you know, I look at this and I guess my first question comes in, you know, what are your thoughts on what's going on? I mean, here we are, day three. I wanted to get your thoughts and maybe some of the folks that at Millersville that you've been talking to.
I was surprised. I never in my life thought I would really go out on strike, but we're standing up for quality, and I was very pleased that the union decided that they were going to really stand up for the adjuncts and try to encourage the state system to continue to support us. And it's been very important to us that we have that support. I have been so pleased with the solidarity. We have over 465 or so of our faculty members, of about 500, that are actually out on strike. And that was amazing. It's been great. Spirits have been high, even though we were hoping that it was going to be a day or two, and now we're in day three. But it's been, I mean, spirits are still high out on the picket line.
Right. And you're right. I mean, you know, to do this, to engage in a strike is no one takes this lightly. It is a very difficult decision. It's the ultimate decision that you have to make. But sometimes, Beth, sometimes it's the last arrow in the quiver. It's the last option.
Right. And so I think a lot of us had probably made sure we were on schedule or ahead of schedule. At least for me, I had lined up activities for my students to be involved with, that they could do things on their own. Not that they're replacing me, but to sort of keep them on track. And I think just talking to people, that's pretty much where they were. But that was for a few days. But I don't know what's going to happen going forward. Yeah. I have also been very, very surprised that there have not been negotiations that we know about.
Yeah, and exactly. I mean, and the fact that, and I go back to Wednesday night, where, from what I'm told, 8:30 at night, Chancellor Brogan and their negotiating team basically just disappeared. Said we're going to
Tuesday
bed.
Tuesday night.
Or Tuesday night, the night before the strike.
Right.
You know, they just disappeared, went to bed early. I don't know. But why do you do that? How do you walk away from the negotiating table knowing that just several hours down the road, there is a strike looming and you can put your institution in peril? I mean, it's mind-blowing to me.
Yes, I sort of thought that, okay, well, once they did that, then on Wednesday when they started asking, we had to report by 5 p.m. whether or not we were meeting our classes. If we didn't say anything, it was assumed that we were on strike. And so I figured for that day, maybe nothing was going to happen. But I am appalled that nothing has happened yesterday or today. And as far as I know, nothing's planned right now. And that's just appalling to me.
Yeah.
What's happening? Why is this happening?
And not just you being appalled. I mean, me as a taxpayer. I mean, at the end of the day, as a shareholder in these 14 universities and colleges across the Commonwealth, of which we are all shareholders in, I'm appalled that we have brought somebody in who has put the state system in a position to force something like this and then basically play a Where's Waldo game and not be found.
Right. He's just, I mean, they've disappeared. There's nothing. And also that we can't apply pressure. I've sent notes to the governor, to my representative, and, you know, I'm saying, okay, now who else can I talk to? And it isn't about money. It's about having regular faculty members teaching your students. It's about supporting those faculty members. But my understanding with our schools is that we are focused on undergraduate education, and we want to have students having personal relationships in the appropriate sense with our faculty.
Certainly.
And so you want to have people who are going to be around. You don't want to have a part-time group of faculty, but we serve a very important role. In my department, we have somebody who's on sabbatical right now, who is on the picket line. But somebody has to cover those courses, and it's very hard to find. I'm computer science. It's hard to find faculty members in computer science in Lancaster County. I mean, there just aren't very many of them around.
Yeah, it's not Silicon Valley.
No, it isn't Silicon Valley. I mean, we have a thriving business area and stuff like that, but people like me don't just hang around in here. So we serve a purpose, but across the state system, we have tried as a union to keep that number of adjuncts low so that students can have interaction with full-time regular faculty members so they can do independent study. They can do undergraduate research. They can do things where we're focused on the undergraduates, not the graduate students, not the football teams, just that they can focus on educating the undergraduate, as you say, the working class people. That's very important. And I've been very pleased that the union's standing up for the adjuncts that we have to have to keep things going smoothly.
Right. I mean, to be honest, when I was out on the picket line on Wednesday at Kutztown, yesterday at Shippensburg, and the sentiment that I got from everyone is that of unity. And all of the members
right.
of the union understand that, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all, and that you're all in this together. And I got to be honest, very proud of that. I mean, what's happened over the last several years is there's been a move in this country to divide and conquer, where you see a lot of workplaces with two-tier wage systems, where future workers are going to get the short end of the stick. And this is one of those moments I've been saying is a big example of a bunch of workers saying, no more, we're not going to go down that path.
Right. And part of what the proposal that was put on the table on Tuesday night was to have the regular faculty would get certain kinds of increases and stuff, and the adjuncts would get a 1% raise each year. And we'd be on a separate pay scale and do things. And the union saying no. And in addition, there's some changes having to do with retirees and with newly hired faculty would
right.
be treated differently. As I understand it, I'm not I'm a computer scientist, not a contract negotiator.
Yeah, and the other thing I heard is some retrenchment language that could pretty much do away with a lot of full-time faculty. And ultimately, when you look at all of this stuff in its totality that you've just laid out, the question then becomes, for me as a taxpayer, as a shareholder in these institutions, and all of us in the Commonwealth, is what kind of a state system do we want to have? And I look
right.
to Brogan's past, and I see, you know, a lot of things that I'm not thrilled with. I don't want this to become a part-time university system where the faculty members could be in China, for all we know, doing
mm-hmm.
all of these online courses. And look, I've taken online courses in the past. And in fact, the facilitators, because they're not professors, some of them were in places like China and traveling all over the globe. They weren't actually people who were in a room with me or even in a city with me.
Right.
And I got a problem with that. Again, this comes down to that basic question. What kind of a future do we want for these institutions?
Right. And part of what my favorite picket sign, the one that part of mine says, we will not sacrifice quality. And the other side, it says faculty working conditions are student learning conditions. And we are trying to create ways for the students to learn best. I have different students when I'm sitting in lab or walking around in lab where I'm talking to them. I'm working with them, seeing if something isn't working one way for them, I try to find another way to do it. And that one-on-one, reasonably small class size that is still accessible, not from the private schools, but in a public school situation, is something that's very important to me. Even though I'm an adjunct, I'm a longtime adjunct. I'm looking out for the whole, for the university. And it really is a quality issue.
Yeah, I mean, you bring up an interesting point that you look out for the university. In fact, you know, every faculty member that I've talked to, every person who works at these different universities that I've been to, expressed that concern for their institution, the love for the institution and their students as well. I mean, this is heartbreaking for a lot of the people that I've spoken to.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and we have students who are coming out. Some of our computer science students have a table set up outside of the library. And they are helping make posters. They've been there every day of the strike. We've had a lot of students just sitting down around being supportive, and that's been wonderful. And there's just a lot of support there. I hope it gets over. I hope the union finds a way to figure out how to get Pashi to, you know, come to the table. Don't break us off into another group and keep us as a unified union and faculty.
Yeah, I'm with you. But the blame doesn't go with APSCUF. The blame goes with Pashi and Chancellor Frank Brogan, because ultimately it was their decision the night before the deadline to just walk away from the table and be MIA again.
Right. I mean, they're, you know, where are they? I don't know. You know, I can't fathom that.
And then my problem is this is, again, I guess this is one of those moments where our the people who are on the payroll are not working again. I mean, I look at our U.S. Senate, who decided we're not going to do any work today. Maybe it's filtered down to the chancellor's office, where he thinks now's a good time for a vacation. It's fall.
Well, and
it's beautiful.
It's my understanding the chancellor's job is to advocate for the state system in front of the legislature, try to develop, get us money, so that we can do things. And I understand money's tight. I'm also a taxpayer, but we shouldn't have lost 30% of our funding since 2008.
Yeah,
and
33%.
So, you know, that's his job, is to help us and increase the quality of all the schools. And he's not doing it. He's trying to tear us apart.
Yeah, but do you think, and is this, I have an idea and I have a thought of why this guy was chosen as chancellor, like the two before him, all from Florida, interestingly enough. I have my own thoughts on why and where things are going. Have you had those conversations on the picket line or, you know, in your negotiations and your talks about where you think possibly the chancellor's mindset has taken us?
We've had a little bit of that, but I would say, yeah, he's trying to break the union. I mean, he would like us to just not have the union. I think I figured that they were trying to see how many people, how much resolve we had, how many people would really walk out, and how many of the faculty members really would strike. And that's why when we saw the list of the people I was proud to be on the list of the people whose classes were canceled, that there were over 460 of us at Millersville. And I haven't heard about numbers on other campuses, but I heard that we're one of the less radical campuses. and so those numbers might be higher around at some of the other schools. And I think he's wanting to see what kind of support the union really had. And I'm seeing this being really together and standing in solidarity. I don't know what the end game is here, though. I mean, there's part of us wondering it may be cheaper for them for him to just say and trash the whole system and, you know, cancel the semester. That would be terrible, but it might be cheaper to give back the tuition and not pay the faculty. So I really, 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 really hope that that does not happen.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen either. Because
we need to have the state system. My husband and I was in Virginia, he was in North Carolina. If there hadn't been the state schools and with them being subsidized, we wouldn't have been able to be here. We would not be able to have gotten solid undergraduate educations at the state schools and then gone on to graduate programs. We wouldn't be able to have done that without the support of our state and every school, every state is pulling back, but Pennsylvania's cut the support for higher education more than a heck of a lot of other states.
A lot deeper. And look, it comes back to this ideological anti-tax position and this idea that we can cut, and there'll be no ramifications. Here we are. This is the cause of this radical cutting, this radical austerity that we saw during the Corbett years. This is the Corbett legacy right in front of us.
Well, Corbett didn't want, was not educated in public schools, and he doesn't see any reason why we can't have everything be privatized. Whereas I see it as an obligation of the state and of us as a society to educate people, because then you have your other future taxpayers, your business people, your teachers, your doctors, your consumers are out there, and they need to be educated so that they can have jobs, so that they can support our economy.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. At the end of the day, I'm a big commons guy. I believe in this is the right thing to do for a civil society and for a good society. But also from the pro-business point of view, this is where you're training your next business leaders, your next entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. your next innovators. And by cheapening on the front end, what are you losing on the back end? And again,
right.
This is such a failure on so many levels of our political system and the people that we appoint to our heads of our play organizations like PASHE. It's just infuriating to me. So last question I've got for you,
okay.
You and your husband, you've been doing this for a number of years. Again, he's, I guess, a full-time regular faculty person, right?
Yeah. My husband is an associate professor. He's the department chair of computer science. It's not nepotism.
Okay.
We cannot find other people to teach.
And look, at the end of the day, the hope is that you guys get back to the table. Everything gets headed in the right direction. What can we do? What would you want us to do? What do you want from the public?
What I would like from the public is to be contacting the governor, be contacting the chancellor, even though we don't know where he is, but he has a secretary, and your legislators, and try to get them to get PASHE back to the negotiating table. That is, at least initially. And then when the election's coming up, we need to have people who understand that education, public education, matters. And is something that is an obligation of us as taxpayers. And so vote. Whichever way you're going to vote, vote.
Absolutely. Beth, I appreciate you taking a little time for us. I wish you and the faculty there at Millersville University and all of the APSCUF members the absolute best to a speedy and quick resolution of this and back into the classroom soon.
Okay, thank you very, very much.
Great talking with you, Beth Katz, adjunct instructor there of computer science at Millersville. And again, day number 3, we're going to stay on top of this until it's ended and hopefully in the right direction. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Stories have come, but there's no improvement. Never cross a picket line. The might of the labor movement. Never cross a picket line. You must never cross a picket line.